am I on?
I have it on. I have it on.
Let's see. Should I try something else? I don't.
Maybe
you tell me.
Try a different mic, please.
Yikes. All right. How's this?
You hear me now?
What happened? Okay, is that all right?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right, sorry about that, everybody. That microphone didn't seem to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Anyway, it's just a couple minutes after 5 p.m., time for American Hit Radio. I'm Tom Ryan with a voice. Heidi Morales Ryan here behind the board trying to help me fix all this stuff to make it work. Feels different today. I don't know. Maybe it's the weather. Maybe it's the fact that it's dark out, you know, with the clock going back. A couple of things are different. Maybe it's the day after Election Day weirdness. So I don't know. There's a lot that's making today feel different, which is kind of good because we're up to a point with what we're doing with our album list where I think we're at a period of time where things are going to be starting to change significantly. For what it's worth, I should mention, in case you're just tuning in, you don't know what we normally do, on Wednesdays, the show is American Hit Radio, by the way, and we've been playing albums consistently now for over a decade. And we have two lists totaling 1,000 albums that we intend to cover, which means we're going to be doing, you know, we intend to do this for about 20 years since we've got 1,000 albums and we do one a week. And there's two lists. One, there's 500 albums that are top 40 albums that we've chosen from 1955 until the present to represent what we consider to be the best of the top 500, the top 500 albums that made the top 40. And we picked another 500 albums that never came into, that never reached the top 40 because we didn't want to just base the list, you know, our albums upon popularity. If it would be, force ourselves more or less to have to go deep. In some instances. So it's been working out pretty good. And we've been playing them all in chronological order, starting in 1955 and working our way through time. And we are now in the early months of 1976, which is what I mean when I say that we're in a period of time where things are beginning to, are going to start changing significantly. I think that the first major period of change occurred at the very beginning, around 1955, 1956, when we started our list, because really when albums just came into existence, because there was obviously a bunch of artists who were, I guess you could say, the standard artists, people like Frank Sinatra, Sarah Vaughan, timeless artists who represented the historical situation of what American music was about. But then rock and roll was beginning to break through. And that, of course, that made a very, very huge, significant change. And that more or less rock and roll took over. And that had pretty much represented what has been happening from then for the next 20 years, from, say, 55 right on up through until 75, as rock and roll changed, of course, and grew for those 20 years significantly. But now in 1976, it begins to change again. And, well, I'll tell you what, I wrote just a paragraph about it, so I'll read it. I mean, back in 1976, we were not yet aware of the social ramifications that were starting to burble underneath the surface. So the album that we're going to play today was judged simply as an incredibly well-produced and arranged album with well-written songs that were performed with intricate attention to detail. For this to make sense, I need to tell you what the album is that we're going to cover. Released in February of 1976, it went up to number two. I'm amazed it wasn't a number one hit because it was hugely popular at the time. It's a Boz Scaggs album. It's called Silk Degrees. It was a hugely popular album. Had four singles, three of them top 40 hits. And to me, it seemed like they were on the air like constantly. They still get airplay at this point in time. So this was one very, very, there's my mic back again. How about that? Thank you, Heidi. This album was very representative of what music, what rock and roll and the production of what was happening with rock and roll or pop rock and roll was happening at this time in 1976. Like I said, incredibly well produced, well arranged, well written songs that were performed with an intricate attention to detail. In other words, it did a fabulous job of representing exactly what represented pop and rock and roll in 1976. If you looked past the gloss and the polish, though, it was obvious that things had changed drastically during the 70s. The change was subtle over time, but indisputable. A musical style that came to being as a way for middle-class teenaged kids to blow off some steam eventually grew more serious and purposeful, but often at the expense of dissipating the raw energy that originally made it so viable and timeless. Teenage rebellion, that source of rock and roll that gave it its original energy, that, you know, the what do you got sort of rebellion, slowly turned to social rebellion, which introduced drugs to youth culture, and then political rebellion, which added a hefty degree of seriousness to musical topicality. But as the subjects grew complex, so did the music's style and production. Recording studios that once looked like coffee shops now looked like NASA control bases. Record companies demanded high-end producers who provided quality recordings. Yes, in italics, quality. And the artists simply followed their leaders. And by the way, most recording artists usually weren't even bands anymore, but session players who grew up in this sterile environment. I pick Boz Scaggs for this rant, if you want to call it a rant, because Silk Degrees, the album we're going to play today, is a perfect example of what is now referred to as yacht rock at its apex. It is the album directly related to the birth of the uber yacht rock band Toto, as this is the album where those session musicians first united, met each other, and formed a band. It also marks a turning point for rock and roll, if you could even call it that anymore. Or maybe it was ultimately just a dead end. Maybe the ride took us nowhere. But listening to Silk Degrees was an oral version of cruising to nowhere in a luxurious ship, and it stands out as an important transitional album in the course of rock pop music history, because in only a few months' time, a rebellion would take place that would attempt to sink that ship. And you all know what I'm talking about with the onset of punk rock. We've already played an album by Patti Smith, so we already know that the waves are beginning to foment, and it's starting to happen already. So if you imagine that you've got Patti Smith like rising to the surface and starting a movement, well, this album, Silk Degrees, is really trying to hold the line. Sorry for the Toto joke, but or the Toto reference, but really try to hold the line and try to retain what is happening in, in the mainstay of what rock and roll had become. So let's open it up with one of the four songs that was a hit single for Boz Scaggs on this album that was a 5x platinum album over time. Silk Degrees is its name. The opening track is What Can I Say?
Way. I did my best, the perfect guest knew when to go, perfect you knew when to stay. Come tell me that you're lonely, dear, I've been feeling down some too. After after all this time now, ain't it clear? I've been waiting just for you.
It's a tasteful enough track, right? What can I say? I mean, it's my voice still sounds weird to me on this microphone. I don't know why. It's like it's feeding back to something, but I'll live with it. Sounds okay to you? All right. Okay. But that track reached number 42 as a pop single. Not a big hit, but then again, you know, Boz Scaggs had a solo career for quite a while without having a pop hit. He started out as a member of the Steve Miller Band in the 60s and went solo around 1969 and put out albums for a while, but it wasn't, I mean, and some of them did reasonably well. There was like Slow Dancer, the album before this, seemed to be doing, you know, I think it did okay with sales. But this is the album that busted him wide open. And I think it's because it managed to work on a lot of different levels. Like I said, it had that amazingly cool, so smooth sound that a lot of people were like, it was that dance album that would have worked great at any of the discotheques. And it also was like basically it blended into the R&B market as well, while still being very pop. That was thus the crossover. The thing that also worked is that a lot of the songs that weren't singles were huge hits on the radio. Like this next song, I thought this was going to be one of the three top 40 hits that the album was bragging about, but it isn't. This song was just an album track. So this is like an FM hit, but not a single. And you're probably going to know it because I think we still hear this on the radio with some regularity. It's called Georgia.
Gorgeous enough to make angels' heart run wild.
is it not odd that that wasn't a single? That song got a lot of airplay. I mean, I'm quite surprised that it wasn't. I'm going through some notes here, and I'm looking at like the way that some of the people were, you know, talking about the album and critiquing it in its time. And I'm thinking about the next song in particular, because I always thought that Robert Christgau, the critic, the music critic, was one of the more weird music. He's an incredibly well-regarded critic, but I always noticed that I seem to disagree with him like for the 85% of the time. He always seems like he's got some sort of an angle that I don't really get. And when he reviewed this album when it came out for the Village Voice, that was, he wrote mostly for the Village Voice back then, and his comment on this album was that it's white soul with a sense of humor that isn't consumed in self-parody. And I don't even know what he's talking about. You know, like I don't really hear like that there's a real big sense of humor on this album. It's not the type of album that I find that there's a lot about it that makes me laugh. It sounds like it's a pretty self-serious album, if anything. And there's nothing remotely, you know, no parody. This is a very, again, it's a pretty self-serious album.
It's not consumed in parody.
No, that's what I mean. He's saying that it, well, he's saying it isn't consumed in self-parody and that it has a sense of humor. What's funny about it? It's just odd. I mean, the only thing about the album where I can say, okay, maybe I'm bringing it up because this next track is probably the weirdest song on the record. It's called Jump Street. And the story goes that Skaggs literally wrote the song, he started coming up with lyrics just 10 minutes before it was being recorded. He had only this like really like vague idea of what he was going to sing, and he just started screaming out words phonetically as the song was being played. So maybe that's the thing that they found humorous. It's called Jump Street.
Can't
lunch like a Saturday night. Honey, don't look for those flashing lights, but baby, you better stop coming down on me. Stop coming down.
See, for an album that's famous for just having so much spit and polish, that's a pretty loose tune. And it's kind of cool that, you know, sometimes it's the loose songs where the most interesting things happen. Oh, that's good. Jump Street on that track. It sounds like he's having a lot of fun. That guitar, by the way, is Les Dudek, the Southern Rock studio session guitarist. He's the same guitarist, by the way, that played with the Allman Brothers for Ramblin' Man and all that sort of thing. And he put out some really good solo albums, by the way, Les Dudek did. Remind you that you're listening to American Radio on 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD in Garden City, New York. Show is American Hit Radio. And I'm Tom Ryan with Heidi Morales. Ryan, we're here every Wednesday and Friday from 5 until 6 p.m. Playing our way through a Boz Scaggs album, Silk Degrees. And just to prove that he has really, really good taste, he picked a pretty awesome track to do a cover version of. It's a song that's, over time, a lot of people covered this Alan Toussaint song. A lot of people have, including Lowell George on his one and only solo album that he put out before he passed away. So this predates that. Alan Toussaint, his version of What Do You Want the Girl to Do?
You think the girl's crazy? She'll eat up your lies like it's good.
Your lies like apple pie.
She don't even cry. She's not a fool. She's just trying to do what her heart says to love you. As you take to the wind, and as she breaks down within, she waits for you. she really wants is you. She knows what you are. Still, she'll be your queen if you let her.
Oh, the harbor lights are
Something about the harbor lights has called me back to some Jamaican bay. Doesn't seem so far away. Keep the change, but I'll repay these memories. Dawn came in this morning like summer chunked out melody. As we woke, still haunt me. What you feel to won't reveal you. Let me steal you for my life.
Brings us to the end of side one, which was not the hit side. Now we got to flip over the album, side two, and bam, now we're on the hit sides. And the first track that starts it up, Low Down, is the biggest hit single on the album. To give you an example of how much of a hit it was, if you've seen the movie Saturday Night Fever, when John Travolta is trying to work out his dance routine, this is the song that he's playing that he's working out his dance routine to in the movie. The song Lowdown.
Back to town.
race the saddle to the dirty lowdown. Put those ideas in your head. Have a Jones for this, Jones for that. This running with the Joneses, boy, just ain't where it's at. You're gonna come back around to the sad, sad truth, the dirty lowdown. Got you thinking like that, boy. I wonder.
man, where does the time go? I'm rushing my way through this. Okay, there's only one track I want to play here. It's the only song on the entire album that I think doesn't represent a hit. It's called Love Me Tomorrow. I'll come right back right after this track. To use up so much time, but pardon the interruption of that one track. Pretty much the rest of the album, I think, stands out, and it ends on a gigantic boom. I mean, two of the best songs on the album, certainly two of the most popular songs on the album. So I'm just going to say goodbye here and just go out with Lido Shuffle into the mellow tune We're All Alone. Thanks so much, folks. Hope you can join us on Friday with our Jimi Hendrix series. We'll see you then. Bye bye.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack, but that was all he missed, and he ain't coming back. Headed to the Stone Bar in a juke joint car, he made a stop just long enough to grab a handle off the top. Next stop, Chi-Town. Lido put the money down and let him roll. He said, one more job ought to get it. One last shot, no, we quit it. One for the road, Lido. Whoa, he's for the mic, he's for the show. Lido's waiting for the door.
Once the story's told.